Welcome to the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you for listening. My name is Callie Klug, and I am a yoga teacher and somatic practitioner in Southern California. Your Own Medicine podcast was really created with this idea and this intention of bringing knowledge to you to access the medicine within you and within your own body. So thank you for listening. Let's go. Hello, hello. Welcome to this episode of Your Own Medicine podcast. It's Friday, baby. I just hosted this free workshop and Golden Bachelor is now available on Hulu today. And I'm just, life is good. Life is good. So this workshop is a part of a new series of workshops that I'll be doing free each month. Where I will be rotating through topics. The next one is on pleasure, and I'm co-hosting with my friend and co-teacher Tatiana Nicello. And that one is also free. We'll be talking about what is pleasure and how it can be really resourcing and helpful to the body in general, and then particularly when you are healing trauma. So that'll be the next one. I believe that's November 8th. But it's free, so go check it out. And this one was on anger. So this is honestly probably my favorite topic to talk about, because anger is something that is a natural process of the body. It has a very divine purpose of fight response, and it's also extremely misunderstood. And I go into that in the workshop, so I won't go into it now, but, it's a topic that I really love talking about, and we'll probably even do a part two on anger, and especially as it relates to people pleasing, down the road. So I hope you enjoy the, workshop recording. If you would like to continue to work with me, I have a 3-month small group coaching program that launches on Tuesday, October 24th, and doors close on Monday, October 23rd. So if you are interested, I'm calling it like the ultimate holiday survival guide, because it's 3 months to guide you through the holidays. It's for women who are ready to heal from people pleasing through boundaries and deep somatic grounding. So in this program, I'm gonna take a breath. We will be doing bi-weekly sessions with somatic workshops very similar to the one that you're about to experience. At the end, we'll do spot coaching, Q&A. And then we will also have support in a Telegram group. And then you'll have a one-on-one session with me, where we can explore personalized practices for your particular challenges. And you'll also get access to Venom, which is my signature on-demand program. So there's a lot of value packed in this. It's a very small group, so it's going to be very intimate. And I'm really excited for it, because honestly, I wish I had this like a few years ago. The thing about the holidays is that it's really a time when we are not resourcing. So we're not usually feeding ourselves or our nervous system. And then it's also a time when we, as well as people in our lives, start to kind of bump up against our boundaries. So it's can be a very stressful time, and this program is really designed to give you the tools to not just survive the holidays, but enjoy the holidays. So this is called From Pleasing to Power. It starts Tuesday, October 24th. If you have any questions, you can send me an email at support@callisomatics.com, and I hope that you enjoy the podcast. Okay, we are adding a new segment called the community segment, because we now have this feature on Spotify that is like a Q&A feature, And I think it's at the bottom of the episode where you see it. It asks, what did you think of this episode? And you can leave your thoughts. And I just want to read something that someone left on the last episode. And we'll do this every time. If you leave something behind on there, I will read it on the next recording. So, Sherbert Frog left this note 12 days ago. They said, refreshing to experience such direct activities. I'm excited to practice some in conflicts moving forward. I wish I could afford the full container following the podcast. Thanks, Callie. Thank you, Sherbert Frog, for your kind words. That was about the embodied boundaries podcast or workshop recording. That should just be below this episode if you want to experience that one as well. So thank you so much for the kind words. I really appreciate that. And let me know how it goes when you put it into practice.
All right. So we're going to take a moment. Welcome. It's going to be very intimate today. So welcome to Divine Rage. This is one of my favorite topics to talk on. We're going to start with a grounding practice. So go ahead and once again, kind of take a moment, look around your space, look all the way over your left shoulder, and then all the way over the right shoulder. Hey, Alex. And then slowly come back through to center and start to close down the eyes if that feels comfortable for you. And taking a moment and just noticing without trying to change anything, just taking a moment to allow the body to arrive. And if the state of your body and your mind is weather, just noticing what kind of weather it is today, this morning. Maybe bringing some grounding touch with the hands to the knees or the legs. And then we're going to bring the, you can blink the eyes open. We're going to bring the thumbs in and then wrap the fingers around the thumbs. And we're going to do this breath, Melissa. I know you know this one. You did this one with Park. So it's a cannonball breath. So we're going to punch forward and then bring the arm up and back. Punch forward, arm up and back. If you're listening to the audio, we're seated. Our fingers are wrapped around the thumbs, and then we're punching forward. That arm that punches forward goes up and back the head, and then over and over and over. And each time you punch forward, we're doing a strong breath out through the mouth, literally like you're like shooting cannonballs out of your mouth. Just like that. So if that feels good for you, go ahead and keep going. If you'd like to modify, you can slow it down or you can just breathe normally. We're going to do this for about a minute. So go ahead and begin. Keep going, really feeling the strength of the arms here as they press forward, feeling the strength of the belly, the breath, imagining cannonballs literally shooting from the mouth. Maybe going a little faster, maybe not. And then bring the hands palms face down. Take a few regulating breaths, a few exhales through the mouth. Oh. And then noticing how the body feels here. We just did some upregulation, so you might feel increased blood flow, maybe your heart's beating faster. And then when you're ready, go ahead and blink the eyes open. Oh, okay. So that's going to be one of our tools today that we use for anger regulation, and we're going to explain why. I'm going to share my screen, which is always a journey. So give me one moment. Okay. We're going. It's happening. All right. Ah. So, welcome to the Divine Rage Workshop. I love talking about this subject because anger is such a misunderstood part of our biology. And it's also has so much power and so much potency. And so when you're able to tap into it re and regulate it and metabolize it, in a way that's safe and supportive for your body, it's really can it's a game changer. Okay. So we just did some grounding. So what to expect today? We're going to do some lecture and discussion around just these concepts of like what anger is, like what kind of mechanism it is in the body, and then some practices for your tool belt. And then we'll do some Q&A at the end. Okay. So when you think of the word anger, and you can even close down your eyes here. When you think of the word anger, notice what activates in your body. Notice if any sensations or thoughts or pictures arise. And then, if you'd like to share that in the chat, go ahead and do so. I know for myself, when I think of anger, I feel like a tightening, tension, power, judgment. Yeah. A holy trifecta. I feel anger mostly in my chest, frantic energy. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, I also feel anger mostly in my chest. And yeah, there's a lot of over couplings with anger. So many of us have a association with anger that is negative. So instead of anger just being the pure exactly what it is, which is this charge to create distance between us and a irritant, it becomes overcoupled with rage and violence, maybe even our own past traumas. So not only are we feeling anger when we feel or think of anger, but we're also overcoupling it with these layers of negativity or shame. I know I came from a really religious background, so for me, anger was overcoupled with something really sinful and something you didn't want to be associated with. So not only are we experiencing anger when we experience anger, but we're also, many of us experience all these overcouplings as well. And that kind of brings us right into the next point, which is anger, I feel, gets a really bad rap in pretty much everywhere. Like I said, I have a background and I came from a really religious Christian upbringing, so anger was not seen as something that was ever a good thing. It was never seen as something helpful, but only hurtful. And it was, what's the word? It seemed morally wrong for the way I grew up with it. And then I know a lot of the culture of spirituality and kind of that world. Also, the it maybe doesn't say it directly, but a lot of the language that I hear frequently is, how can we rise above anger? How can we let go of our anger? How can we there's just language used that insinuates that anger is something lowly that we need to rise above, dissociate from, and be better than. And I don't like that language because I feel anger is actually incredible. It's a really powerful charge. Anger is energy. That's really what it is. So if we separate our overcouplings with anger and just think about what is anger, like if I'm thinking of what anger is right now, I want to like get up out of my seat and like, I don't know, do some like air punches. If you think of, I once had an acupuncturist tell me in Chinese medicine, when it comes to depression, they really view depression as this force that swallows your chi or swallows your life force energy. So when you're depressed, all you want to do is lie in bed all day and not get up, maybe not even make food. Like it's this like energy suck. Anger is the opposite. It is like a spark, and it's a spark for change, which is why I think it's that part is never, I never hear spoken about very often. But it's a spark for change. And it's also how the body expresses boundaries. So when we feel irritation, so it kind of goes irritation, anger, rage. That's like the steps. Irritation, anger, rage. When we are feeling irritation, that is our body's sign that we need space from the trigger, from whatever the stimulant is. So it's basically the body saying, like, give me space, give me boundaries. And so it's the sign to asking for that. And then anger also gives you the energy to do that. That's why I love anger. Because it's like a 1-2 punch. It's telling you, this is not working for me. This is not working for my body. And we can even separate. I like to use the language, your body is asking you for space from whatever it is. And then your body's also giving you the energy to take action, to move away from the loud music. Right now, there's leaf blowers outside. I'm feeling irritated by that. So I'm feeling this charge to maybe go close the door, close the windows. If you think of like a mosquito buzzing by your ear, you swat it or you kill it. That's action. Those are boundaries. A lot of times we think of boundaries as like interpersonal, and there definitely is, but for the sake of this conversation, boundaries can be anything from, yeah, closing the door on the sound or moving away from loud music. Or anytime your body gets space from an irritant. So what happens when we feel that irritation and then we take action to get space from it? So when we feel anger, we feel activation. So I know you guys kind of felt that when we were like thinking about how anger feels in our body. So there's a sense of activation that happens to create the change, to create space from the irritant. Once space is taken from the irritant, that space allows our body to regulate back down from the activation. So if I'm annoyed by this loud music my neighbor's playing and I close my door, then it becomes quiet and it gives my body the space it needs to, oh, okay, we're good now. So there's this kind of cycle that happens of feeling irritation and then creating space and then coming back down. So, okay, so here's a visual for the creating space. So this, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it could be someone talking too loud. It could be even like there's some people I know that literally just their presence irritates me. It could be something at work, mosquitoes, loud music, the news could be an irritant if you're watching the news and getting mad. Like that might be a sign to take space from it. So what happens when we do not go through this cycle, right? So the cycle of creating space is that that irritation does not get metabolized, and it also doesn't, we don't really come down from it. And so if you think there's like a reservoir of anger or rage, every time I am annoyed with someone, like something at work that's said, and I'm at work, so I feel like I have to be polite and I smile, and you can feel the shove it down feeling. Maybe it goes in your chest, maybe it goes in your belly. But if you imagine that goes into like a reservoir of anger, eventually the irritation builds into anger, and then it can build into rage. And then that's when we have these like huge disproportionate responses where we're at work all day, and then I come home and Oliver, my partner, says one little thing and I go, ah! And I have this rage. It's not because of what was said, it's because of an entire reservoir of irritation from the day just is now spilling over because my body now feels safe enough to let the anger out. So the goal for today is to kind of understand that, and then also learn practices to support our body and metabolize through irritation and anger when we're in that irritation phase, and not I don't want to say not letting it build up to rage, because there are some situations, especially when we're like kids, living with caregivers or whatever, we didn't have the agency. But now most of us are adults. We have a certain level of agency in our lives, and we're able to support our body in metabolizing through the anger when it's at that low level, like the irritation phase. So let's take a breath. I'm going to review my notes quickly. Have them. Okay. All right. So the last notes that I want to share before we get into the practice are that, yeah, like I said, anger's really powerful. It's a lot of energy. So it's really an opportunity to create something from it. I know for myself, like some of the best workouts I've ever had were when I was really mad because it's just so much energy. Or you can rage clean your house, or really, like, I mean, you can use these practices to metabolize the anger, but I would really encourage you, and this is why I say like anger can be such a tool. Or if you are like at work and you feel like you're being taken advantage of, or whatever it is, you want to make more money and you feel anger, like anger is that support from the body to ask for a raise, or really understanding that it's a tool to take action, and whatever that means for you. But yeah, I think that part of anger is really cool. And then finally, my last notes before we get into the practice. This workshop could have easily been like 2 hours long. I had to cut so much out. So finally, what I'll say is that so we talked about the steps of irritation, anger, rage. So rage is normally comes from that reservoir, like I said, usually built up over hours or days or years. And it's often very disembodied because it is such a strong charge. Like if we think of just regular irritation, irritation already is a charge. Anger is more of a charge. And then rage is often so much of a charge that our bodies usually don't have the capacity to hold that much of any kind of feeling, whether it's like extreme grief or sorrow. And so usually in rage, there's a level of dissociation and disconnection from the body. A lot of people actually have blackout rages. That's one trait of the fight response. When it goes really extreme, we can actually black out, forget things. I put this in my notes, like if you've ever had a parent say something really horrible when they're in a rage, and then like a few days later, hours later, you say, "Hey, that wasn't cool how you said X, Y, Z." And they say, "I didn't say that." Like that's that dissociative rage where it's there's this separation. So because rage is such a strong charge and so dissociative, when we're talking about embodiment and somatics, it's like, how can we embody anger and irritation when it's still a low-level charge? And how can we safely metabolize that and support it when we're able to kind of get a grasp around it? One thing that I think is a great sustainable practice is just breathing. And I don't mean that in just like staying alive, but in taking audible exhales and throughout your day. So even like throughout this workshop, I've been and maybe it's not irritation. I know I'm having dealing with a really old computer right now, so it could be. But it's supports your body in really like bite-sized, like Hershey's Kiss, releasing that irritation. So go ahead and even right now. Because I will say with parts work, what I've learned is that there's multiple parts within us at the same time. So like right now, a part of me is so happy to host this workshop, and a part of me just wants to have tea on my patio right now. And so go ahead and notice that part of you right now. That's kind of like whether it's about being in the workshop, being present for this, maybe you're slightly bored, literally whatever it is, or maybe it's something else, but just coming into contact with that part of you that's kind of like feeling low level irritation, like 1 out of 10. You can put a hand over it just to connect further to it, and then inhale through the nose and make a sound through the mouth. And do that a few more times. And then you can blink the eyes open. So that's a practice that I think is very easily woven into your daily life. And it starts to get you more in touch with the reality of your body. I think it's anger can be, like we mentioned at the beginning, a sensation that we have a lot of overcouplings with and shame around. And so when we're able to just start removing the uncoupling of, oh, anger is bad, irritation for being here right now means I don't want to do this, or I'm a bad person for feeling this way. When we start to just release it in these little micro moments and micro breaths, it starts to kind of remove that uncoupling. So, okay, we're gonna get into the practice and then we'll take a moment and kind of come back together with shares of how this is landing for you guys. How are you feeling now before we get into the practice? You can put it in the chat if you'd like. How is this landing in your body? Feeling good? I love your earrings. They're so cute. Feeling good. Okay. Beautiful. And if it ever is feeling bad, that's beautiful too. Okay. So we're gonna move into our first. This is the main one, our anger practice. So when we're doing this practice, I recommend more going along the lines of like a lower level irritant. So it could be, like I said, like a leaf blower outside, not like a 10 out of 10 situation, just something that's just irritating. So go ahead, and if it feels supportive to you to close your eyes, go ahead and close your eyes. And then start to call to mind that irritant, whether it's a person or a situation or an animal or a sound. And start to notice where it activates in your body. And then bring a hand over that place once again. Not in an effort to calm it down or change it. Just in a motion of support. And you can start to ask this part of you what it wants to do. How does it want to move through you? How does it want to mobilize? And staying connected to that sensation, go ahead and bring your hands up. We're gonna take this cute little hand position with our middle fingers up. And go ahead and inhale. As you exhale, bring the hands forward towards the camera and say, fuck you, if you can, if you're in a place where that's appropriate. Inhale, exhale, fuck you. One more time, inhale, exhale, fuck you. And then go ahead and bring the hands now, palms open, facing towards the camera. Coming back to that sensation in the chest, the throat, wherever you felt it. Inhaling here. And then exhaling, pressing away, pressing the hands away from the body, like you're pushing this irritant away. Inhale, bring the hands close. And exhale, press the hands away. One more time. Oh. And then connecting back to that sensation, asking it what it wanted to do, whether it's pushing away, punching, whatever it was, go ahead and take a moment and do a few of those motions. Inhaling, grounding, and then exhaling, moving through slowly and with awareness. Making any kind of sounds that want to come up. Then go ahead and bring the hands down. Allow the body to regulate back down, maybe bringing the hands, rubbing the legs, taking a few open mouth exhales. And then go ahead and notice how the body feels here. You might start to feel more activated. I know sometimes when I do these practices, I actually start to feel more, and that's okay. And then blinking the eyes open, let's come back into this space. Go ahead and look around your space. Ceiling to floor, and then over the right shoulder, all the way. Slowly back to center, and then over the left shoulder. Noticing the colors, the textures, coming back to center, taking a few more moments to allow the eyes to wander. Okay. And then coming back to the screen. Go ahead, and if you'd like to put a few words in the chat of how that practice felt for you and how it landed in your body, you can go ahead and do so. Helped me to feel more present, more in control of my space and body. Not control in a tense way, but from a place of strength. Hell yeah. I feel irritation in my throat, like I wanted to yell out. After doing the practice, it felt more spread. It felt like it spread more evenly throughout my body. Awesome. Yeah, one thing that's interesting about that practice is, well, really somatics in general, is there's no right or wrong end result to a practice. It might bring up more for you. It might feel more diffused after, and just noticing if it starts to feel like more activating, you can even keep with the practice. really the idea for these practices. I wrote this down in my notes, is I facilitate the anger, the anger's escape from my body so it doesn't escape onto someone else. So these tools are really to allow us to have more agency over our anger so that we can feel it coming, facilitate the escape of the anger in a safe way, so that it doesn't hurt someone that we love. Because anger can be hurtful too. I haven't said that yet in this workshop because I think it's said enough in our culture. But that is a reality, is that anger, rage, and violence can absolutely cause hurt and pain. So our responsibility is, how do I take the messages from the anger, from my body, that it needs space and needs a boundary? How do I safely move through the like the meatiest part of the charge myself through a practice like this? You can use the cannonball breath. That's a great one. That one, I feel, for me personally, metabolizes it more than the other practice, but every body is different. And then how can you still use that charge? Because especially if there's any kind of injustice happening, whether it's, getting taken advantage of at our jobs, anything that's maybe more interpersonal and chronic, how can we use that charge of anger to create positive change? And like last month, I did a workshop on boundaries with people that we love. So anger can still give you that charge to have a constructive conversation around your needs or boundaries. But when it's in its raw form, especially more on the end towards rage, that's when it can get messy and it can get violent and harmful and dissociative. So, yeah. All right. One last practice that I'd like to share with you guys is more along the lines of parts work. So anger can give us a lot of messages. Normally just the sensation of anger is enough to know, like, okay, this isn't for me, this person's not for me. Maybe I'm hungry, I need to meet my needs in some way, I need to take space from XYZ. But with parts work, we're able to go a layer deeper beyond just the sensation and actually ask our anger questions. So we're going to do a really brief practice and then we'll kind of close up and move into Q&A if you guys have any questions. And so once again, you can notice that part of you that feels irritation or felt irritation earlier this week. We have a lot to work with. It's Friday. So noticing that part of you, where it lives in your body. And we've now done two different practices with anger, so you can kind of be like, what's up? Hello. You can bring a hand to it if that helps you connect to it. And then go ahead and imagine like opening your front door and having this anger personified as though it was a person waiting at your doorstep. And you can notice what they look like, how they're standing, what their body language is like. And then go ahead and welcome them in. And treat them like a guest, like you would a guest. Like make them tea, get them some water, offer them some cake. And then go ahead and ask this part of you. You can even ask it, how old are you? Can ask it, what do you need from me? And ask it, is there anything you'd like me to know about you? Just notice what arises. And then when you're ready, and blink the eyes open, come back into this space. So the general idea with parts work practice is that we are just really getting curious about these parts of ourselves. You can do this in any way that works for you. For me, and what I've noticed works for a lot of people is the visualization of this part of you coming into your home. You can imagine meeting it in like a safe place that you have from your childhood or adulthood. And really just getting curious about this part of you. As though you would get curious about someone that you never met, or like someone you're on a date with. Like, what, where are you from? Where, how did you come about? From what? This practice helps to remove some of the overcouplings. So, for example, if we have that like pure form of anger, we might have our overcouplings with anger, and then we also might have our triggers from a past situation that can cause some murkiness around a situation. And so doing parts work helps to kind of separate the overcouplings around anger, and then also whatever situation that you're experiencing or that's challenging you. My last note before we move into Q&A is I'm in this program right now where we did a embodiment practice for anger. And it was a three-song practice where the first song is anger, the second song is sadness, and the third song is pleasure. And you can pick your own three songs. I feel like that's a really great practice. And the idea with the anger practice, the way the facilitator did it, was kind of this cathartic anger release where we're like punching pillows, and all of that is great. And I think sometimes it's really supportive to the body to have these containers where we're able to get out this like big form of rage, because that's really what that is like a rage release. So that's one practice you can also do. I'd also encourage you to play with like a 1% anger practice, because sometimes rage is not available to us. Like, especially if we've spent many years pushing it down for whatever reason, it might not feel accessible, so or safe. And so if you're more comfortable, and even I would recommend this to everyone, even if you are comfortable with rage practices, doing like a 1% anger practice, whether that's having like a 1% anger, like irritation playlists, like songs that kind of make you like, yeah, you know, they're not like fully raging, but you're kind of like, yeah, you know, they did that, you know? Or those breaths, like that's like a 1% anger practice. So, you know, you're in it, whatever it is, you can't find the granola for your cereal. Shaking is great. The practice that we did where you're pushing, and really just working with anger while it's in a more digestible form for your body and your nervous system's sake, and then also it's good to be able to get comfortable working with anger when it's not just in this huge rage state. So, thank you for listening and for bearing with me through all the information and not much of a slideshow. Normally, I have more visuals. Is there any questions or comments you can even share just how all of this landed? I know it was a lot of practices and a lot of concepts. So if you'd like to share in the chat, or you can come off of mute, just how it landed in your body, and then if you have any questions as well.
I'll just say, like, I've been looking for a way to, like you're talking about, metabolize before it gets too extreme. I've been struggling with that, of things that have sat and festered and gotten so big that they're now it's really difficult to parse out and manage. So I love this idea of sort of keeping pace with the intensity and trying to find ways to work it out before it gets so big you can't handle it. So that really resonates.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of practices on social media and everything for like rage. And like those are great, but yeah, I feel like on our day to day, most of us aren't just like hulking through the day, you know? Like we're not like constantly on the verge of rage, but that irritation, like the reality is like most of us feel that all day, every day, whether it's like a broken elevator and now you have to take the stairs, or you can't find whatever it is. So,
Yeah. I did have like just a question. It's not like it's a question, but it's more like, what do you both, if you would like to share, think about this? Which is, sometimes rage feels good. Like it, you feel righteous and you're like, I want to do this and I feel powerful, but it is an incredibly destructive thing. But maybe you don't have the clarity of mind at that moment. And I know that these practices are a way to come out of that, but when you want to feel that way, how do you even reconnect to put yourself in a place to want to pull you out? Does that make sense?
yeah, totally. Oh my God. First of all, Alex, literally, yes, rage is like delicious sometimes. I was like thinking this morning because I posted about it on Instagram, but I had a friend who does cycle syncing, and someone wrote an article. She got interviewed and she was so excited, and then she realized that they were basically trying to shit on her, and that made me so mad. And while I was mad this morning, wait, it kind of like feels good because it is self-righteous and it's so powerful. And it's there, that's why I honestly love anger now and at this stage in my life, because it's power. It's kind of like, woo, like drunk on like, woo, anger power in this charge. So first of all, yes, I totally understand that part of it. When it's that much of a charge, I personally would probably say like creating some kind of art from it, whether it's like making like I mean, obviously writing a letter and burning it is like a classic, whether it's like art, like physical art, like making, painting something. I've like even had a journal where I'm like and like tearing through the pages, like saying fuck you, like embodiment practices, rage rooms. Yeah, I mean, like it's really fun to be in anger and really just creating whatever container for yourself. Like, I know I'm gonna rage clean my house after this. So whatever makes sense for you, and then maybe coming down. So, a great, like any kind of grounding practice is great, where you're like looking around the room, like the ones that we did, bringing your hands to your extremities, like your legs, and rubbing them and saying, legs, these are my legs. You could even go through that practice of like the three songs, rage, sorrow, and pleasure, because that kind of pleasures. Sorry, my dog just made a sound. Pleasure is a requires a lot of presence, so that'll bring you back down into your body as well. Yeah. What do you think, Melissa?
Yeah, I definitely think rage can feel good. I've had sort of the opposite feeling though lately. So I started taking kickboxing classes and I've really been enjoying like kicking and punching and using the slam ball, and that's all great. I've been playing around with calling up a feeling of past rage while like punching the bag, and I really want to like scream out in class, but I don't know that it's the appropriate place to do it in this gym. But it's a little overwhelming. And so I kind of have been stepping back and not wanting to go too deep into it. So I might try these practices of like kind of ramping up because it's like a 20 out of 10 kind of rage situation. So it's, yeah, it's not like a little one.
Gotcha. Oh, I love the kickboxing. That's such
Yeah,
a thing.
it's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome. And I mean, if you're even able to do like something like that at home or in a space where you can yell, because the trifecta of somatic release is breath, sound, and movement. So if you're able to like get the sound in there too, and you can even do it at home, like if you can get like a pool noodle and cut it in half and like hit makes a nice sound and scream. You can punch a pillow or get a few pillows. But yeah, because the it does feel good. It's kind of like this drunk power feeling. But yeah, definitely like that with the other practices are great. Alex, what were you gonna say?
No, I just it's intoxicating. It's so interesting, and I really resonated with what you were saying, that it's also a disassociation in the same way that like being drunk is, that it's sort of outside of yourself, and not as embodied. And yeah. So that it's all making sense.
Yeah, there's so much with anger because we don't really learn that much about anger, but I mean I could do a whole nother thing on anger and yeah, it's interesting. But it's I think also too like naming it when it's there, like naming like, oh my gosh, I fucking love how I feel when I'm mad. Like it feels so like I self-righteousness is my drug of choice. So anger is like, oh, like give it to me, hook me up to an IV. So I think just naming it too, like just like that, even like as a joke or you know, like if you're with a partner and you're starting to get mad, be like, whoa, I'm starting to get drunk on anger right now. I need some space. That helps because it is this thing that culturally we have a lot of shame around. So just naming it, I think helps to uncouple the anger from the shame. Yeah, like even you saying, Alex, like I like how it feels. Like that's so great to say out loud. Yeah. Any last thoughts?
Thank you. Thank you for sharing this, sharing these practices, and just creating a safe space to talk about this and to process it.
My pleasure. Thanks for being here. Okay, I'm gonna say this wasn't in the plan, but so when we talk about anything or focus on anything, our body responds accordingly. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling like very amped up right now because we were talking about anger. Woo! So I'm gonna do a shaking practice just to kind of move it through a little, and so that you can leave here with a feeling of feeling grounded and not like you're drunk. Not today. Not right now. Okay, so go ahead and if you want, you can stand up. I'm going to do this seated because I'm situated, but you can do this seated, you can do it standing. We're going to start just by shaking the hands. And we're going to breathe through this. So as you inhale through the nose and then exhale the sound, and then bring the hands lower towards the body. Inhale. And then shaking through the shoulders. Inhale. Shaking through the belly. the waist, maybe the legs if it's available, the head. Inhale through the nose, exhale the sound. And then we're going to start to just lift and drop the shoulders. Yeah, looking both sides is great. Lifting and dropping the shoulders. Inhale through the nose, exhale. And then start to find stillness, or you can keep moving through whatever feels good. Go ahead and pat the legs or rub the legs and look down at your legs and say out loud, legs, these are my legs. And really just noticing, these are your legs that you're touching right now. And then soles of the feet can either be on the floor or you're massaging the soles of the feet. Either way, noticing that sensation and saying, feet, these are my feet. And just noticing, looking down at your feet. Inhale through the nose. Exhale through the mouth. And then rubbing the hands, looking down. Hands, these are my hands. And then tapping the top of the head or holding the head. Head, this is my head. And then go ahead and bring your hands to some part of your body that feels supportive. Maybe under the Sorry. We're good. Maybe some part of the ribs, the chest, the belly. Inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth. One more time, deep inhale. Exhale, soften through the shoulders. And then when you're ready, blink open the eyes. Go ahead and look around your space. And then when you're ready, turn back towards the screen. All right. Thank you guys for joining me. It was a pleasure. Have an amazing weekend. And the Golden Bachelor is out live in case you watch it. It's time, baby. So thank you guys for joining. I really appreciate it. And have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Callie.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope that it was helpful to you in some way, and I hope that you walk away feeling grounded and also with some new tools. If you have any thoughts about this episode, there's now a Q&A session, or what is it? A Q&A, I don't even know what to call it. It's just a little Q&A thing at the bottom of this episode. If you're on Spotify, you can leave some thoughts behind there. And then if you are wanting more, as I mentioned at the beginning, From Pleasing to Power is a 3-month small group coaching program to help you survive the holidays. It starts Tuesday, October 24th, and I'd love, love, love to have you be a part of it. So thank you so much for listening, and have a beautiful rest of your day. That's all for today for the Your Own Medicine podcast. Thank you so much for listening. These episodes do come out pretty sporadically, so if you'd like to be notified each time a new episode comes out, please subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can always follow my journey along, which I always post when a new episode comes out on my social media, TikTok and Instagram, at Kelly Klug Yoga. And feel free to keep in touch. You can also check out my website at kallieklugyoga.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.